During the 1970s, a small number of tough-minded young people moved into what is now the Yukon-Charlie River's National Preserve. They built cabins, trapped, fished, hunted, and raised sled dogs, living a version of the Alaskan dream that would soon become a thing of the past. The third section of John McPhee's book, Coming Into the Country, profiles many of these people, living a life only the Alaskan frontier could offer. Elizabeth Harbaugh spoke with one man McPhee wrote about in this section of the book, and the woman who completes his story.
This is a love story. It was first written in a journal in 1975, tacked to the wall of an empty cabin, and left in one of the wildest parts of Alaska.
Monday, November 10th, minus 12 degrees, cloudy and May snow. Today is the anniversary of being in Alaska for exactly 1 year now.
Rich Karaz's story might have stayed in the abandoned cabin forever, but some months later, writer John McPhee wandered in and found the journal. McPhee was taken by this tale of survival, addressed in parts to a girl named Sarah. He included excerpts like this one in his book, Coming Into the Country.
Quite a lot has happened, and if I had Sarah now, it would be the end of a near-perfect year. Still, it was the best decision I ever made, and I'm very glad things worked out. If I was religious, I might say, thank you, Lord. Amen.
Rich spent his first winter in the Alaska wilderness in 1975 when he was just 23. He had been working as a logger in the forests of Wyoming and Colorado, but he felt constricted. He drove north to Montana, and within days, he decided there were too many people there, too. In the book, McPhee quotes Rich saying he settled on the Alaska bush because there ain't no barbed wire up here. Rich says that sums it up.
Oh, that was so good. That was so good. A lot of things he said in one line, I could waste a lot of words on, but he said it right. And yeah, it was totally open country. There was no barbed wire, none. And I loved it. It was made for me, you know.
Although Alaska was everything Rich hoped for, a girl he'd left behind in the lower 48 occupied his thoughts. In his journal, Rich punctuated his accounts of grouse hunting and chopping wood with heartsick notes like, good night, Sarah, good morning, Sarah, and Sarah, where are you? It's been 40 years since these words ended up in the pages of Coming Into the Country. Even though he gave McPhee permission to publish the journal, Rich is still a little shy about it.
I was kind of shocked that he wrote the love story part of it.
It's a bit awkward to talk about today, because as he's reading from his old journal, Rich is next to the woman he spent his life with. And her name's not Sarah, it's Sonia.
Sonia was the first girl I met in Alaska.
But we weren't at all impressed with each other.
At the time, Sonia Woodman Karaza was also living in the Upper Yukon. Sonia was born on Alaska's Kenai Peninsula and grew up fishing. But Sonia was also drawn to the bush, and in 1975, she was living with a friend in a cabin about 40 miles from Rich. Sonia and Rich kept running into each other and helping each other out.
You know, when I had my chainsaw, trying to figure out how to put a new link in my chainsaw, Rich was here and said, you need help? I said, yeah. And he said, I always wanted to go fishing, and you know how to fish. I said, yeah.
As Rich and Sonia taught each other survival skills, they discovered they shared a deep love for the land. The two were discussing marriage when Rich's journal, Pining for Sarah, appeared in the pages of Coming Into the Country, first published in one of the most famous magazines in America, The New Yorker.
I was thinking, well, this is interesting. We'll see how this ends up. I didn't know at that point if Rich was going to choose to stay with the fisherwoman from Alaska or if he was going to revert to his longing of his heart for Sarah.
Of course, Rich did choose the fishing woman from Alaska, and they've been together ever since. Today, the couple is living on a bluff overlooking Homer in a cozy log home Rich built himself on land Sonia's grandparents homesteaded. But the couple is still mourning the way things ended on the Yukon. The area where Rich and Sonia had lived became a national preserve. Coming Into the Country documents the federal government handing out trespass notices to wilderness residents. Sonia and Rich had moved off the Yukon by then, but they were close with many people who left. It's not easy for Rich to talk about.
It was uncalled for people that weren't Alaskan to come in here and change this country to their standards without considering the people around the land. And hard to understand when you're a young kid.
Sonia also gets emotional talking about how the Yukon changed when the area became a national preserve. She says it's important to protect the environment, but the people who lived there were important too.
I'm not totally saying that I don't believe in protecting certain areas. I do believe in that. But not everything, not the entire state.
Rich says young people no longer experience Alaska like he did in 1975. They arrive here with hiking boots, bikes, and skis, and see the state as a kind of picturesque playground. But Rich has a different vision. He says there's no longer a place for a young person with no money to go build a cabin out in the woods.
The young generation, they don't have that right now. And I'd like to see that. I think it makes a better person out of you. You've gained something in your heart, and you're going to love this land more for going out there and doing it.
In the end, McPhee may have publicized Rich's love notes to a girl he didn't end up marrying, but Rich says that's okay, because McPhee so perfectly captures his other great love, a time and a place in Alaska that felt truly boundless. For Alaska's Energy Desk, with help from Eric Keto, I'm Elizabeth Harbaugh in Anchorage.